Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Everybody, and welcome to Dynamic Dojo Talk Radio with Restita and Robert. It is Sunday, December 15th, and we're broadcasting live from Seattle, Washington, and Burbank, California. And joining me on the helm today is my brother in the martial arts, Sifu Robert Deal. Sifu Bob, how you doing today?
Doing wonderful, Sifu. It's a beautiful day down here in L.A., where I don't even need a jacket right now. It is so warm down here. It was 58 degrees this morning, and it felt like it was 80 because the sun was just beating down on us.
I hate you. It was funny. One of my Facebook friends said on one of his posts, he's like, I'm so glad to be home and spending Christmas where it makes sense, you know, where the Christmas season makes sense, because I guess he was in, like, Southern Cal, and he's like, I don't know about this 75 degree weather in December. And I'm like, don't go to Hawaii.
Yeah. Well, I love living in Southern California, because if I want to see the snow, I can drive 45 minutes and see it.
Oh, well, that's cool.
It's not like we're locked out of snow. I'll drive up to Angeles Crest, Angeles National Forest, and there's plenty of snow. I used to do that with the kids all the time when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Very cool. I just thought it was like, wow, he's really glad to be home. I thought I read it the other way around. I thought that he lived in SoCal. And when I read it again, I'm like, oh, that's right. He lives on the other side of the mountains over here. And I was like, oh, okay. So, I don't know, to each their own. All righty. So our phone number here is 347-677-0699. And we're going to be joined by our special guest, Maya Freeman, here in a little bit. I think there was a confusion as to what the call-in number was. So when she joins us, we'll go ahead and go through our first segment of announcements, shout-outs, birthdays, and weird news and stuff like that. And she's actually going to join us as sort of like a guest co-host. So I just got a computer and it said, okay, calling now. She's the host of Core Consciousness, a radio show, another radio show here on Blog Talk Radio, but under the Doc Radio Network, so on a completely different network. My guess is that she tried calling that network's call-in number. Because she might have thought that, you know, our show was on that network, because I also do, you know, a co-hosting gig on Modern Combat Masters on that same network. So she probably did that. So anyway, and there she is. And I think this is Maya. Maya, are you there?
Yes, I called the wrong number. Did you just say I called the wrong number? Because I did.
I think so. I think she called the Doc Radio number, and we're on a completely different network.
But it's okay. It only took me a minute to make the difference.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, for our listeners out there, our call-in number is 347-677-0699. And we are joined by Maya Datrena Freeman, who is a martial artist and a personal fitness trainer. And if you've got any questions about fitness or diet or what have you, this is the gal to talk to. She walks the walk and talks the talk, and she knows through experience. So call in 347-677-0699. Now, this is our Sunday brunch show. So I hope there are listeners out there going, hey, how come they're, you know, how come they're not on at 6 o'clock? Hey, let's listen. Let's listen to the brunch show. So every third Sunday, we've got the Sunday brunch show. So listen in, folks. I forgot to put this on Facebook that we're on the air, but I'll do that a little bit later. So Maya, we'd like for you to join us for our first segment of this show. Me and Sifu Bob, we like to do shout-outs, announce people's birthdays, do some health news, weird news, and just have some fun. And we'd like you to join us with some fun. How's that sound?
That's great. I'm loving it.
Awesome.
And the call-in number, I'm just going to put it on my Facebook, is 347-677-0699, right?
That's
correct.
So,
right.
Yay!
Yay!
That's
very
the right
cool.
Number.
Right on.
So, yes. We can have fun. We've already started by me calling the wrong number. So life is full of mistakes. The idea is to get back on track and learn the right way and then do it. So
that's right. All righty. Very cool. So why don't we start off with some birthday shout-outs? How many birthday shout-outs you got there, Sifu Bob?
I have three. My birthday shout-outs go out to Ralph Paris, a Masters Hall of Fame alumni. His birthday is tomorrow, 12/16. Kathy Huang Little, out of Las Vegas, Nevada, 12/16. Now, it's very interesting about Kathy. She shared with me that her new business cards for her dojo in Vegas. And they're actually done on poker chips, which is
very
cool for business
cool.
cards.
That's awesome. That's very cool.
And Diana Ming Zhang out of, she lives in Pasadena. She studies with Don Baird at the American School of Martial Arts. Her birthday is on Tuesday, 12/17.
Very cool. Awesome. I've got a few. I want to place a birthday shout out there to David Michael Cunningham. His birthday is on the 16th. That's tomorrow. So happy birthday, David. I also want to place another big shout out to another one of my martial arts brothers, Sifu Charles Shepherd. His birthday is on the 17th. And another shout out to Sifu Chris Bennett, whose birthday is on the 18th. And for everyone else out there that has a birthday, and even if we didn't announce it on the air, this particular tune is for you. I'm all dancing around in my chair. Happy birthday, everybody. Woo! I'm all set now. Now I want to go out and Zumba, something. I don't know.
You know, it's funny, Sifu. The other night I was watching a movie, and it was to take place in Hawaii, and I even forgot what movie. They uh-huh. were playing at the end of the movie, Eye of the Tiger by Survivor uh-huh. from Rocky uh-huh. 3 with uh-huh. ukulele.
Oh, how cool
is that?
It was actually very well done. It was very cool.
Oh, wow.
The sheer fact that you're playing that song on a ukulele is miraculous in and of itself.
Yes, absolutely.
You can just imagine.
Yeah. Especially like if a Hawaiian band was playing it. Now, that would be pretty badass.
And then they're doing a hula all around. Eye of the Tiger thing. Oh, my goodness.
And then a hula. That would be awesome. Oh, my gosh. All right. That's cool. Let's see. I think that's it for the birthdays. Why don't we go ahead and move on to the shout-outs, Sifu Bob. You got any shout-outs?
I have one shout-out, and I'm going there today.
Okay.
A shout-out to the American School of Martial Arts. They're having a Christmas boutique today, So if you want to do your Christmas shopping and want to avoid the malls and you're in the Burbank area, they're located at 1600 West Magnolia Boulevard, Burbank, 91504. And the Christmas boutique is going to be going on from noon, which is about an hour from now, until 6 p.m. tonight.
Oh, very cool. Awesome. Yay.
And the birthday shout-out that went out to Diana Ming Zhang, she was the one who hosted it and organized this event.
Oh, cool. Gosh, you'd imagine that since it's a holiday boutique going on at a martial arts school that, you know, it would be martial arts stuff mainly, right? But because when I hear the word boutique, I think clothing. But I'm guessing that it's just going to be a whole bunch of stuff, kind of like I don't want to call it a garage sale because it's not. But
like
very
a bazaar.
Cool. Like a bazaar. Thank you.
Like a holiday bazaar.
Yeah, that's the word I was looking for. I'm like, oh, what's the word?
Well, and you know, every time I think of Sifu Rusty, I think about the word bizarre.
Well, that's a different spelling. That's a B-I-Z. I'm thinking of a B-A-Z. Right. Like in Morocco or something. The dunk. Exactly. Whoa. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are definitely, I fit right in. Perfect.
Yep, you
perfect
do.
To be interviewed for Sunday brunch because
exactly.
I'm out of my mind. And my body half the time, but whatever. no.
Oh, dang it! I forgot my coffee in the kitchen again.
See, I have my tea. I'm ready. I've got my clove and cinnamon tea with some honey.
Going on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was funny. Before the show started, I'm like, hold on, Bob. I left my coffee in the kitchen. And my mother took the coffee off of the burner. And I'm like, oh, dang, now I got to, like, nuke it. So I put it in the microwave and came back. And then the show started, and I realized I don't have any coffee. But, oh, well, I'll live with it for a while. Or at least until break.
Either way.
Yep.
Can I give a quick shout-out and a birthday
quickly? Yes, you
may. Okay, I have some family members, and I got way too many dojo members that are, I love you all, but I'm just going to say Shihan Dominique, Kiyosanim Dominique, I love you. Her birthday was the first. I know there's a lot of other Capricorns and also Sagittarians in the dojo, so I love all of you. I know Sensei Damien's birthday is coming up because he's a Capricorn. So my birthday is coming up in a month because I'm a Capricorn.
Woo!
So there are all these wonderful people born in the winter, just to let you know. Winter is not a bad season. It's just a little cold in certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
Although I live in San Diego and it's 72 today. I'm very happy.
I'm very happy
running around in flip-flops and like leggings.
I was telling Sifu Bob, I'm like, I hate you, because, you know, Sifu Bob always goes, you know what, it's like 80 degrees over here.
Like, right. Oh. It's cold. It's windy. We don't like wind. It's crazy, but we love it. So I love living in Southern California, although I am from New York, and being from New York is, I would not trade that for the world. I love being from New York. I love having that experience. And for all of my people in the dojo, I know I forgot a ton of birthdays. I've been in school. That's my only excuse. So for all the birthdays I've missed, I love you. And just know, happy birthday. And next year I'll be more disciplined. It was a rough semester. In terms of events and things of that nature, there's a ton of things. We can announce that later. But I have an event in January, kind of birthday celebration in a sense, because I like to work out for my birthday. More importantly, shout out to everyone that I know and love and has helped me with everything. I appreciate all of you. So definitely to Doc Radio and Snookus for just all of the years of learning Soki, all of them, all the great martial artists I've met, including Sifu Rastita, who teaches a bullwhip class that I have got to go to like Catwoman, because I want to have a whip like Catwoman. Oh, my God, she's so amazing. And I'm very serious about that. We are going to make a seminar to teach women how to use bullwhips. Aside from that, it's great.
I would
so
teach
thank
it
you.
Too. I would
great.
So
we're gonna
too.
we're gonna discuss this off air about how to make this manifest. But we
yes.
are definitely going to go to the next level. So thank you for having me on the show. Big shout out to the Global Block and all of my people there, because they're amazing supporters of me. All my friends and family in New York, all my other friends that are out there in hip hop and doing beads and just doing everything. Beadmasters NYC. I want to shout out all my people in New York and everything, all the good songs that I use. I have friends that make music, so shout out to all my friends that are artists I just love everyone. So thank you so much. And you got to eat some really good food because it's imperative in your life. So we will be discussing nutrition and fitness
yes.
and how it is symbiotic because without one, you cannot have the other. So
yes.
we have to talk about that and why
I'm
I chose the
so
song
excited.
I chose.
I'm so excited.
Oh, I'm excited too. So those are all my shout-outs. Too many
right
people
on.
To make, so I'm just generic. But I love everybody. I really do. I swear I love you all.
Right
you know,
on.
Appreciation, not truly. I don't appreciate everything, but I love everybody. I truly do.
Very cool. Well, let me go
I
ahead
don't
and play
know,
a...
people, huh? I have some reservations. I have some reservations about you teaching a bullwhip class to a bunch of women. I can't see a bunch of women holding a bullwhip. I would never walk into a room like that because then they'd focus on me.
Are you kidding? We would love you. You'd be the one teaching us how to throw people with a bullwhip. What you talking about? He would be loving it. He'd be like, okay, now it's my turn. Let me show you how to bullwhip people and then throw them. See, that's
take
what you
their eye out first. Take
exactly.
their eye out first, throw them so they squish their own eyeball. Yeah.
Exactly. I like that. That's so perfect. I love it.
That's awesome.
So
all right,
what are we doing
see.
Today besides being silly? Sifu and Sihan, right?
Well,
I forget titles. I apologize.
Oh, you can call them Guru, Sifu, whatever. It's kind of like
Guru,
the same thing
okay,
with
Guru
me.
Works. Guru, Sifu, that works. Everything's you. Everything rhymes. I like that.
You know, one time I've had students like try to mix up Guru, because that's my title also, Guru and Sifu, and I get Gufu.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That's funny.
Oh, that's funny.
Goofu.
That is funny. Gufu.
Sugu, you know, it's like... Ginsu, you know, because sensei is another one of my titles. It's like, really?
How many titles, right? How many titles do we really have
I don't
and
know.
How many titles do we really need?
Oh, God, I don't – it's like crazy. So I'm like, just call me Sifu. You know, people call me Guru, and I just ignore them because no one calls me that. It's like, okay. But speaking of gurus, I've got a shout-out, and this is in regards to – an upcoming fundraising seminar. This fundraising seminar is being hosted by Master Rene Letosa. And this seminar is called Fight on Philippines, Help Typhoon Haiyan Survivors. And this particular seminar is benefiting the National Alliance for Filipino Concern. And the proceeds are going to go toward the Typhoon Haiyan Survivors. This particular seminar is next Sunday, December 22nd, starts at 9 a.m. and goes until about 5 p.m. And it's at the Bayanihan Center at 1010 Mission Street, right there in the middle of San Francisco. And you have the opportunity to train with world-renowned martial artists. And check this out. It's only going to be $45 at the door. $45! For like
wow.
seven, almost 8 hours to train with some of the best Filipino martial artists and martial arts masters from other arts. It's incredible. So if you want to RSVP to this, you want to email rzl@comcast.net or go to www.escrimawarrior.com. And that's Escrima with a C, not a K. And again, that's December 22nd, Fight on Philippines Martial Arts Seminar Fundraiser for the Typhoon Survivors, hosted by Rene Letosa. Woohoo! Yay! Excuse me. All right, got one more shout-out. I just want a shout-out to all my sisters in the Pacific Association of Women's Martial Arts. It's an organization that was founded in around 1978, an organization for women, headed by women. And this particular organization is open to any women and girls that are interested in martial arts, self-defense, self-improvement, the whole nine yards. And every year they hold a training camp. And if for some reason, you know, if there are people that can't afford to go to training camp, they do have scholarships available, partial scholarships, or even work study programs where you get like a big discount on your camp fee if you agree to help out and work in the background for the camp. So wonderful, wonderful organization. And if you want any information about this, just go to pawma.org, www.pawma.org. All sorts of great information there. We're going to have more information about this upcoming year's camp and the location. Me and the rest of the PAMA board are scoping out locations in Oregon, California, and Washington, and now it's going to have to go to, where do we want to go? Where's it going to be? And personally, I think Washington is overdue, but that's just my take on that. Anyway.
You're just tired of traveling.
What was that?
You're just tired of traveling.
Well, it's not that I'm tired of traveling. It's been a couple years since it's been in Washington, too. Well, actually, yeah, it'll be two by next year. And, you know, I mean, I love going to California to go to PAMA. You know, like that one time, you know, right after the Masters Hall of Fame, I left your place, Bob, and went straight down to the Bay Area for the PAMA camp there and stuff like
no,
that.
No, Rusty, it was the other way around. You flew in to Burbank from PAMA.
Did I do that? Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yes.
I did. That's right. Because I remember I was like rushing to get to the airport from PAMA, and I'm by myself, and I'm like, and I know nothing about the rail system over there. I'm like, I don't know where I'm going. Anyway, all right. So that's it for my shout out. Let me double check here to see if I have any more. Nope. I think that's it. Yep, I think that's it. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's move on then. Sound okay? Let's move on to our health news. All right. So this isn't so much news as it is kind of like my shock that there are diets out there like this. And what better person to have on the line with us than Maya Freeman while I read this ridiculous diet. Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Are you going to entertain me right now? Okay,
I'm entertaining you. I'm going to entertain you because I was looking through health news, and this is one of the things that popped up about, you know, diets and stuff like that. And I was like, are you serious? This is crazy. All right, here we go. Diet and nutritional experts say that the so-called, quote-unquote, cotton ball diet has been around for quite some time now. I've never heard of it. But a string of recent YouTube videos and social media shares has turned it into a growing diet fad. This is ridiculous. Now, healthcare professionals are worried that this new diet craze among teenagers, could be the most dangerous one yet. Now, Jennifer Lombardi, a treatment professional at the Eating Recovery Center of California, says, you're really kind of playing Russian roulette when you use these types of diets. The biggest concern is that it can cause a blockage in the digestive system, and if that happens to a certain extent, they're going to end up in surgery. Just like with any extreme diet, it is very dangerous because you're depleting your body of needed nutrients. So, of course, you know, after reading this, I'm like, well what is
it? Okay, well, hold it. Rewind. Yeah, what is it? I don't understand. All I understand, like, cotton ball diet. Are they eating the cotton balls? Is that what they're doing?
Yes, and here's how, this is what I found out in my research.
Oh my God.
Yesterday. In videos posted to YouTube, girls soak cotton balls into orange juice or lemonade in order to add taste. The cotton balls are consumed to either limit the amount of food the individual eats throughout the day or to act as a meal replacement. Extreme dieters believe that the expanding cotton in the stomach will trick the body into thinking it's full. Now, experts who have come across this so-called fad are worried about its immediate and long-term consequences for teenagers. By ingesting such a material, such as cotton or whatever else, doctors say a person can put themselves at risk for a number of health issues ranging from choking to intestinal blockage. However, some don't consider it a diet fad at all and relate it more to some type of an eating disorder. Courtney Gordon, the manager of the Fairwinds Eating Disorder Program, says the problem being that taking the non-nutritive foods is that you're not getting the vitamins, the minerals, the calories, the proteins, the fats, and other things that our bodies need to survive. So you can have a lot of growth and developmental issues. You can have complications of being malnourished. According to the National Eating Disorder Association, 40 to 60% of girls begin to show anxiety over their body size or shape by the age of 6. Approximately 20 million women and 10 million men suffer from an eating disorder at some point in their life. Clinically recognized eating disorders include anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorders. But wow, cotton balls? Cotton balls?
Okay, can I get...
Yeah,
okay.
I want to hear what Maya has to say.
Okay, it's a mental illness. You are mentally ill. There is a problem with you mentally, and you need therapy. I'm very big on therapy. I believe everyone needs a therapist to some degree. You know, Sifus and Senseis, you guys are all therapists. That's what we do. You know, trainers, we're therapists. We listen to people. Mm-hmm. And people are not listened to. And that's what creates all this image with self-image and body type. My daughter is 9. She loves herself. She loves herself to such a degree it's ridiculous. And it's simply because she can be herself. I'm not forcing her to be something else. I say that because a lot of these eating disorders come from wanting to be someone else. Like, my biggest complaint this week was the girl from the Hunger Games. They airbrushed her photo and made her much smaller than she was. Mm-hmm. And this is why these young girls have these eating disorders, because they think that's what she really looks like. No, she doesn't. She got hips and all that stuff. She, you know, she's got curves. She's a woman. So these little girls have to be, what's the word I'm looking for, cultivated and understand that this is part of the process. As a woman, you're going to be androgynous in terms of your body. Then you hit puberty, and then your body starts to shape. You shape like a man, you shape like a woman. As you get older, 25, you basically get into your man's body and your woman's body. Anything before that, you're a young adult, you know, from 18 to 25 or so. Then you really hit your woman's body, men's body, about 35. And you kind of stay in that way, especially if you're healthy. When it comes to diet and nutrition, this is a fad. It's not a diet. It's a fad. It's similar to when kids used to sit there and drink and eat. What was that? The Slim Fast diet. All they did. I mean, Slim Fast actually has nutrients, so I shouldn't even be comparing it to this. But I'm just using it in terms of what children were doing. At one time, they had the Slim Fast diet, and then children were sitting there drinking this no-name brand stuff that was not Slim Fast because it was cheaper, and you got it in a little packet from the store. And had a Phaedra in it. At any rate, it was killing a lot of people. And this was about 15 years ago. So everything goes through this change. Every generation or so, you have the grapefruit diet. You have all sorts of diets. The only way to eat is to eat good food. The only way to eat is to live a nutritional health style, a nutritional lifestyle, and be healthy in that lifestyle. Everything is health. Your food, your health is your wealth. If you're not fueling your body properly, then you are not eating properly. Now, cotton, let's just discuss what they're doing. They're buying cotton balls probably from the dollar store, right? A bag of cotton balls for a dollar.
Probably.
I use witch hazel on my face, so it's very simple to get cotton balls for a dollar. Then they're soaking it in orange juice for the taste. Those fibers are bleached and processed. Those fibers are not real fibers. They are bleached and processed. And then you're ingesting it. Now you're ingesting bleach, essentially, dipped in orange juice, into your intestinal system.
Ugh.
Those fibers are then going to get stuck because most likely they've got already plaque building up in their system, which is why they're unhealthy, because plaque builds up from fried food and things of this nature inside the actual arteries and blood vessels and along the lining of everything in your body. So you have to make sure that you eat properly, like broccoli and things like that, to actually scour out your intestinal tract. People that don't eat vegetables get sick because they're not scouring out their intestinal tract with the right vegetables and fruit. Like, you have to eat properly. Diet must consist of fruits and vegetables. Good food, nutrition is key, especially the fruits and vegetables, because they are what helps build up that immune system. So now you've got somebody ingesting a bleached piece of something, a bleached piece of fiber into their body and thinking they're losing weight. If they really wanted to lose weight, hear me, honey, if you really, for all these young people listening, if you really want to lose weight, all you have to do is eat bread. That's going to expand anyway, and it's a good carb. So you may as well eat something that's going to give you nutrition. And you will lose weight if you actually start exercising. It's very simple. You have to burn more than you consume. Most people burn 1,500 calories, eat 1,500 to 2,000 calories on the day if they eat properly. They can easily burn that off by just simply taking a one-hour walk every day. If you took a one-hour walk every day after your meal, your food would digest, and you would actually be better. If it's cold outside, you can walk up and down. If you live in a walk-up like I did, if you go up and down the walk-up five flights, you're good. Just do it twice. That'll take you about 20 minutes, right, up and down. So if you did that twice, you're 40 minutes. If you did it three times, you're at an hour. So figure out a way to digest your food through exercise. But the cotton ball, you have taken it to another level. That's up there when I found out about the drug called crocodile that actually rots your flesh. I'm like, people take a drug that rots their flesh and they die in a year. Why would you do that? It's a skin-eating drug. So it's up there with people are mentally ill. I really do think we are. This is the insane asylum of the universe, according to Albert Einstein. I'm in agreement. Very seriously, people have to be taught properly. Let's discuss what's creating these eating disorders, and that would be self-image. And that's because all we see on the media is a lie. It's all a lie. None of those women look like that. Nobody looks like that. So you really have to cultivate these young ladies and these young men, because it happens with young men too, into knowing who they are, where they're supposed to be, and be very focused on that. Because these young people are very important to the future. They're going to be the next generation of leaders. Do you want your leader being so self-conscious that they think something that doesn't even exist? No, so help them. But it's a self-image issue, primarily. So it's not a diet at all. I'm 100% in agreement with it's simply a fad. It's a mental illness. People are trying to find the quickest way to do something without researching all of it. Because just common sense alone would tell you not to eat bleach. So why would you eat a bleached cotton ball? I mean, it's a bleached piece of fiber.
Yeah, you know, and I kind of want to know who first tried this. I mean, it, you know, I mean, teenagers, and, you know, when I don't even know where to begin to start, because I read a story about another actress who got airbrushed. I forgot where I read it, but it had like a side-by-side comparison of the original proof of the photo shoot and what went onto the women's magazine cover. And the airbrush took about, you know, 15, 20 pounds off of this actress. And I forgot who it was. It wasn't the Hunger Games lady. It was some other lady. You know, they made her neck longer. They made her arms thinner. They brought in her hips a little bit, you know, and it was like, and, you know, and then they redid the makeup. And I was like, she looked a whole heck of a lot better looking healthy than looking like some, you know, scrawny thing on the magazine cover. And this is what girls see. And it almost disgusts me. You know,
it does
what
disgust
the media,
me. It doesn't almost. It does disgust me.
You know,
carry
what,
on,
the, what the media, I know, what the media does to, you know, to put out some propaganda of what, you know, they think beauty should be like, it just disgusts me. Okay. Let's move on.
Okay.
I think it's time for Bob. Okay, we got some weird news.
That
what
wasn't
we got
weird
news,
Bob? I'm sorry. That was not weird move.
This is weird.
This is weird dirt. Okay, this is weird dirt. Okay, let's add it. Weird dirt. Okay, weird dirt with guru. Oh.
Yeah. What do we got?
This is weird. This was in Orange County, halfway between where Maya lives and where I live.
Oh.
A plastic surgeon. Now, this is where the strange part. A plastic surgeon gives his daughter Botox and boob jobs because Orange County is the worst. Lots of parents
that's
like to show
crazy.
Off their kids. Lots of parents like to show off their kids, but one California plastic surgeon may have taken his pride a little bit too far. Michael Nicole, a plastic surgeon in Orange County, California, started allowing his adopted daughter, Charm, to have cosmetic procedures when she was 10 years old.
Okay,
what?
That's psycho.
What?
That's psycho.
What?
They are insane.
Now, as Barcraft Media reports, Charm and her sister, Britannia, both 25, have gone under their father's knife multiple times, getting breast augmentations and Botox injections at their father's hand. Gawker maintains that the many procedures have turned the young women into walking ads for their father's practice. Their mother isn't pleased by their fondness of cosmetic procedures, but their dad defends it. They lived in the world of cosmetics, so they understand the importance of looking good and maintaining your beauty.
Oh,
Nicole Bancroft Media, I know. the young women are inclined to agree. Out here, cosmetic surgery is a normal part of everyday life since I had my boob job. All my friends tell me that I look great, Charm said. You'll have to excuse my friend.
God.
Bullshit.
I can't.
That's like such bullshit. Oh, my God. I have to. Look, three bullshits in a row. They're through. Seriously? No. You are 10. My daughter is 9. Her little body is changing. I put her in the swimming pool. Let her go fight some water if I want her body developed, which is what she does. She's a swimmer. So how can you – no, that's ridiculous.
No, it is.
And then face and breast augmentations, they don't even develop till they're 14 or 15, you know, unless you have bovine growth hormones and eat a lot of red meat, then they develop at 9. But the point is, if you don't do that – well, we're not even talking about food until we get to nutrition and good food. But I chose the song Good Food for my show because it's all health and wellness, and nutrition is key to life. And, you know, Akbar does Good Food. It's a great album, Planet X. You should buy it. But it's all about good food. It's all about nutrition. So if you don't eat right, you can't develop properly. So what are they feeding these girls? Like, is he feeding them Botox in their cereal? Like, cereal?
I don't know.
Like,
it's just,
what
I just think it's crazy. I know.
This is weirder. You're right. This is weirder, Guru. You're right. This is weirder, Us. I defer to you, Guru, Us. This is definitely weirder.
What 10-year-old goes up to their dad and goes, you know what I want for Christmas, Daddy? I want lip job. I want a nose job. I want a boob job. There's still when do our bones stop growing?
35.
What 35.
At
35. Okay.
Between 33 and 35, your bones stop.
So let's say dad does this complete face job or boob job or whatever. Let's just say nose job or whatever. These kids are growing. You know, they're going to end up looking like Quasimodo. I mean, it's kind of like, what about this do they not get? I'm more disgusted.
Well, my issue is they're not even his kids. He adopted them. The adopted father, right, Guru? Wasn't the adopted father?
Of one of them. One of them was biological. Charm was adopted, and the other one was biological.
Yeah, that usually happens when you adopt. You usually get, like, pregnant. It's just the beauty of having a baby in the house, the blessing. So okay, so that's beautiful. So she brought warmth and love into this house, and he gave her plastic surgery at 10. Okay.
Okay.
Really, like, that's just, you know, I just finished watching American Horror Story on Netflix, so that's starting to freak me out, okay? They're kind of like the plastic surgeons in that crazy ghost house. No, but seriously, like, that's freaky. That's just, why would you do that to your child? Why would you force them to be something you know they don't want to be? If your child is an intelligent being, how can you allow them at 10 years old to make an adult decision to mutilate their body for the pleasure of someone else? Because it's for someone else's pleasure, not their own.
Right.
Exactly.
If they felt okay, well, any plastic surgery. Think about it. If you're happy in your skin and you're happy with who you are, why do you need to alter it?
Mm-hmm.
So people will stop teasing you. That's because they're teasing you. That's their issue. You know, and we came up at a time, all of us, I'm sure, came up at a time where you come from the other side of the tracks, or you come from a mixed marriage, or you come from a foreign country, or wherever your heritage is from, you get teased.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really crazy, because you do not want to be teased, so you try to fit in. And that's the fallacy, the universal fallacy of fitting in, because it's just trying to fit in. It's just a lie. You don't have to fit in. You were born to stand out, which is probably why we're all martial artists, because, you know, one of the prime beliefs that crosses over every single martial art is the need to walk the path, is the need to be true to your path, to study with this master that you feel comfortable. Because we've all had stories about going to different schools until we found the right Sifu guru instructor, the right teacher for us. And that's the beauty of the martial arts, is it doesn't really let you choose. It chooses you. And then you keep walking the path till you find the right door. That's where you start your route. And, you know, my route happened to be in Sanuka's master, Little John Davis Kumite Ru. And I'm so blessed that I have that route. You know, and as I've blossomed and transferred and know different people and trained with other major grandmasters, I'm just blessed and honored because my path has allowed me to meet such amazing people. So, but it's really, these young ladies don't have self-esteem. I mean, we need to. I was on a show yesterday, Martial Arts Kick on Doc Radio with Shodan Mo, and she does a show for kids, and the issue is self-esteem. And it really astonishes me. You know, we had a sensei call and talk about his self-esteem is great regardless of size. What happened to that? What happened to us teaching our children, be okay with you, whether you're tall, short, fat, skinny, brown, black, purple, blue? What happened to being okay with being you?
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's
I don't know.
That's weird.
It is weird. Okay, so
that's
on to something a little
weirder.
Less depressing. It's weirder.
Okay, so we've got weird and weirder. Okay, so nutrition was actually
so
nutrition
now we got,
and health, and then
we
weirder.
Got more
okay.
weird. Now we got more weirder. We got Bob's signature weird laws. This is funny.
What? Oh, I'm
weird laws.
I'm all ears.
Yeah. Yeah. What do we got for weird laws, brother?
Well, this comes from Thailand and Turkey.
Ooh.
In Thailand, it is illegal to leave your house if you are not wearing underwear.
They have the panty, please.
They have the panty, please.
You must wear a shirt while driving a car.
Okay. The shirt, please.
And this is Turkey or Thailand or both?
This is Thailand.
Oh, my God, Thailand. Okay.
In Thailand, you must pay a fine of $600 in Thailand if you're caught throwing away chewed bubble gum on the sidewalk.
Mm-hmm.
No one in Thailand may step on any of the nation's currency. So if it's on if their currency is on the ground, you cannot step on it.
You got to pick it up.
Gotta
That's
pick
okay.
It up.
They're telling you to find money. I'm okay with that.
Me too. In Turkey, this is sort of this one law. All married women must get their husband's permission if they wish to have a job. They must live wherever their husband wishes to reside, and they must forfeit all jointly held assets upon divorce from her husband.
That's
okay. That's not cool, but see, that's why they will never own anything jointly. See, I would just own my own, let him have his own, no problem. It's okay, you got yours, I got mine, and we can have ours. Let's make it yours, mine, and ours, because that's fair. But that's a little too patriarchal for me. I don't like that law. That's a weird one.
That is weird.
Why is the world at war against women? Like, a nation can rise no higher than its women. If you do not have a strong woman, you cannot have a punk woman with you. You cannot have the materialistic woman that doesn't understand how the way the world really works. You have to have somebody that's intelligent, that has your back. And all these successful men have all these women behind them. I mean, look at Angela Bassett and Courtney Vance. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Or Helen Mirren and Taylor Hackford. You know, there are couples that are doing their thing on many different levels where the woman is Janet Jackson just married a billionaire. Hello? I mean, he's running his business. She's running hers. Yours, mine, and ours. Why not? But often they fear. So it's easier for them to cower and get somebody, and that's why they're going to choose a woman that doesn't have her own assets. See, that's too patriarchal for me. And then I have to go where he goes.
Cool.
Why can't he live where he lives and I live where I live and we just hang out? And then, you know, we come.
I like that.
No, we meet in the middle, right? We meet in the middle and we do our thing and we go back to work. But we try. I mean, many couples live internationally and make it work.
Right.
So I think it's a matter of perspective. And that was probably written up by some husband that wanted to make his wife and forced her to do something. And she was probably very independent and fought him on it. So they made it a law because, you know, a woman can't think for herself. But yet you want her to run the house and take care of business when she has children, especially, you know, if they're your children. So it's, you know, I mean, a teacher is the first child. A woman is the first teacher that a child knows. I mean, this is their first acclimation. They come through us. So, no, I don't like that law. That's a weird law. I don't like that law. Let's make them repeal it. Repeal the law in Turkey. I'm going to go to Turkey and make them repeal it. No, actually, I'd probably go to Turkey and belly dance. But that's a whole other story.
Speaking of Turkey, I think that was Thailand, right, Bob?
No, that was Turkey.
No,
that was
Turkey.
Oh, okay. Good.
Thailand
God.
Was where they were giving me. I want to go to Thailand. So, Guru, they give me money in Thailand, so if I can't step on it, but I can pick up the money if I find it.
I guess so.
I want to find money. The street is strewn with money. I want to pick up the money. Let me go to Thailand. Work it out.
Awesome.
Okay, so Thailand it is, not Turkey, unless I can belly dance. Okay.
There you go. Was that it for weird
that,
law?
That was it.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, that was it for Bob the Weird Laws. I thought there was more. I don't know why. But, okay, well, let's go ahead and go to our trivia question of the week. It's been a few weeks since we've done the trivia question of the week, so I want to just tell our listeners about how this works, at least for this week. So I ask a trivia question, and if you're the first caller with the correct answer or the first person to post on our Blog Talk Radio show marquee, or the first person to post the answer on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. And all you got to do is just write the answer. Don't have to explain yourself. Just write the answer. I'll know what it's all about. Just go to the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. Look up Dynamic Dojo. You'll find us and write your answer there. If you're the first person with the first correct answer, you get to win a chance to be a guest co-host on an upcoming show episode with me and Sifu Robert, or you can be a guest or both. So your choice. So anyway, here is the trivia question of the week. Who starred in the original version of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty? And what year did it originally premiere? I'll say that again. Who starred in the original version of The Secret Life of Walter Mitty? And what year did that movie originally premiere? 347-677-0699. That's our phone number. If you know the answer, give us a call.
Now, I have to explain a little bit. I had an old man moment because, you know, Ben Stiller is coming out with the sequel to Secret Life of Walter Mitty. And I had an old man moment because I remember who starred in the original.
Don't tell anybody.
Nope, I'm not telling anybody. I did post it on our Facebook page, though.
Oh, okay, good. So they can answer it there. Okay, awesome. So, yeah, answer the trivia question at the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page. And if you haven't followed the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page yet and are a fan of the show, like what you hear, go ahead and just join the group there. Join the fan page over there. That way you get some information.
I knew it. I just found the information. I just found it. But I knew it because I knew this story and I knew the actor because I saw all the movies that he was in because he was very big at that time. And this is the biggest hint you're ever going to get from me. I have to shut up now.
Okay.
I love being right. I had to shut my mouth because I knew the answer. I'm with Sifu because my mother grew up to musicals. And so, Guru, I watched a lot of musicals with a lot of actors. So it's a great film. And it's from
the
musical genre. Yeah, I'm giving him. I gotta shut up. I'm just shutting up now. I have too much media in my head, like Broadway and theater, and I love it. Oh well, let's give them a free trivia question that has nothing to do with this one, and just to ask them. Love this favorite trivia question. What was the first movie done about a pregnant man?
Rabbit Test.
Bingo! And who, I love it. Okay, Guru. Who wrote it and who started it?
Billy Crystal.
And who wrote
and,
it?
And, I can't, Joan.
Joan, what's the last name? Joan, which one?
Rivers.
Yes! You are so awesome. Yes.
Yay.
I love that because everyone says Junior with Schwarzenegger. I'm like, no, honey, you need to see the one from the 70s. It was amazing. It was when Billy Crystal was on Soap, and it was all during that time, and it was just really funny. He was a pregnant man.
That's cool.
See, Guru, you're great. Yay!
Yay! All right, well, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a short break. We'll hear a few commercials and a short musical piece, and we will be right back with personal trainer Maya Freeman. Our phone number is 347-677-0699. If our listeners out there have any questions about fitness or nutrition, exercise questions, what have you, give us a call, 347-677-0699. We're going to be on the air until 1 p.m. Pacific time. So let's go ahead and hear a quick musical piece, take a short commercial break, and we'll be back in about 5 minutes. We'll be right back after this.
The greatest, you can be the best, you can be the King Kong banging on your chest. You can beat the world, you can beat the war, you can talk to God, go banging on his door. You can throw your hands up, you can beat the clock, yeah. You can move a mountain, you can break rocks. You can be a master, don't wait for luck. Dedicate yourself and you go find yourself.
Standing in the Hall of Fame,
yeah.
And the world.
You can run the mile, you can walk straight through hell with a smile. You could be the hero, you can get the gold. Breaking all the records they thought never could be broke. Yeah, do it for your people, do it for your pride. You're never gonna know, never even try. Do it for your country, do it for your name. Cause there's gonna be a day when you're
dead.
Different we are, we're all connected, and we can all make a difference. That's why United Way brings people, expertise, and resources together to improve the education, income, and health of our communities, the building blocks for a better life. When we live united, our efforts, magnified by others, add up to real change. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly, so do our communities. But real change won't happen without you.
Live United.
So let's look beyond our differences.
Live United.
One by one, let's make a difference. Let's reach out a hand to one and influence the condition of all.
Live United.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
And now, on with the show.
All right, and we are back. Welcome back, everybody, to the Dynamic Dojo Radio Show with Rashida and Robert. Our phone number here is 347-677-0699. And our special guest today is Maya Freeman, personal trainer and martial artist. Maya, are you doing good? How you doing over there?
Yay, I'm just sitting here waiting for you guys to come back drinking tea.
Awesome. I finally got my coffee.
Yay. See, there's something about it. What about you, Guru?
Oh, nothing. I just use the facilities, which I wanted to bring up. It's really funny. My mother made this toilet seat cover dedicated to Christmas, and when the lid's closed, it has a picture, display of Santa on it. You open up the lid, and it's the same display of Santa with his eyes covered.
Oh, that's hysterical.
That's awesome. That's so cute. Awesome. All right. So, again, listeners, our phone number is 347-677-0699. If you want to call in, learn a little bit about fitness, nutrition, the whole nine yards, I suggest you do so because we've only got another hour on the air. Our special guest, Maya Freeman. So let's get right into it. Maya, can you tell our listeners a little bit about how you got started in martial arts and stuff like that? Considering that, you know, our show, even though we talk about all sorts of stuff, we are, you know, first and foremost a martial arts show. So let's go ahead and start with the martial arts. And then if you could tell us a little bit about how you got into the fitness field.
Okay. Everything was always by default.
Oh.
So I say that because, you know, things find you. And mm-hmm. you take to them, and then you try and build off of them and create. So with that being said, my stepfather, when I was six, my mom got remarried. And he was this amazing martial artist. He was this beautiful man from Antigua. And he knew Kung Fu. And mm-hmm. it was just, I was like, wow, mommy married a superhero. Because, you know, it's the 70s, Justice League was out. You know,
yeah.
this really cool West Indian guy that was, like, floating. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So, and he was an artist, and he used to draw, and he used to have these really huge canvases, and I used to help him stretch the canvas. And so, for me, martial arts and art, and just, it was all one.
Mm-hmm.
Because he would work out, and then he would paint. You know, so it was really, for me as a little kid, seeing this. And it was half my life, because they got divorced when I was going on 11. But, for like, he was there for half my life. So, it was really, really important to me. But then, you know, you go through those teenage years when you're just difficult and fighting with your siblings and acting like a lunatic. And then you come back into reality after, you know, during college. So when I was in college, I took a couple classes in self-defense. And I was in college in Oakland. I was in California. And when I left Oakland, I went back to New York after I finished because I got a degree in photography. And then after I finished that, I went back to New York. So I was 23, and my teacher in California, who was just like my teacher, my friend, I wasn't really stressing it, right? Turns out he's like grandmaster, but whatever. You know, I'm like, oh, whatever. You're just, you know, like, you're Anton. I love you. Yeah, can I, you know, because I did a photograph project. I did a photojournalism project at his dojo. I wanted to show youth in the martial arts being productive in the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So he let me do that at the dojo. And we became friends. So when I came to New York, he said, oh, go to my teacher. You know, he's really cool. You know, he lifeguards and stuff. I was like, oh, okay, cool. I'm not thinking anything of it. It's just a lifeguard at the school down the block where I grew up, you know, and it turns out to be Mass Little John Davis. But he was just a lifeguard. So I didn't understand the significance. I was 23. So I'm like, okay, he's really cool. He's teaching me this. And then, you know, I fell off. And then about a year later, I got really serious. I was turned 24. I got really serious about it. And I trained with Soki nonstop for like 5 years till he left. So from 96 through when he left down to Florida back in 2000, I was every day in the dojo. So I was training in Kumite Ryu Jiu-Jitsu every day with Soki for 5 years, pretty much like 3 and 4 hours a day. I'd get off work and I'd go there and then I'd spend all day Saturday and I would teach the kids class. And so I was really big on learning who I was and feeling secure because I grew up in Harlem. And I was a girl, and I developed very early. And my dad had taught me how to box and stuff, so I knew a little bit of something. But the martial arts honed all of that and taught me technique.
Mm-hmm.
So that was back in – I got with Soki back in 96 and started going really full-time, like 97. So it was just – it was on and off for years with different instructors once Soki left. So I've trained with, like, everybody. Soki Hassan Khalik, Professor Bill McLeod. I've been to all their schools, Shihan Lumumba, Sijo Mutakabir when I was in Atlanta. So basically everybody in the Snookus family, like, took care of me. Because Soki, in terms of the hierarchy, would be considered like my dad. So it's kind of cool. So it's, you know, and I take that very seriously. Like, I understand. I mean, it took me a minute to understand who he was, about a week. And then and I was like, oh, Jesus, that's who you are. You're not really the lifeguard. You're like a superhero pretending to be a lifeguard. Cool.
You know? That's funny.
So that's how I viewed him, you know. It's like, because you see the cook, like, you see Mr. Miyagi, right? So he was telling you my Mr. Miyagi. He was the lifeguard. Like, I didn't know he could kick all those booties. I didn't, you know, he was a lifeguard. And he still swims all the time. And Soki loves to fish. And I just talked to him the other day. And, of course, he yells at me because you're not training. But I'm really blessed that I discovered martial arts and that I have all the love, because I've been just very blessed in the martial arts. And I'm so glad to know you and just meet Guru and meet all these amazing people through, because it all came from knowing the lifeguard. So be nice to all the lifeguards. You never know which one's like a supersonic sensei superhero.
Exactly, like Mr. Miyagi. Now, for our listeners out there that aren't familiar with Sanuka Suru, can you just give a brief overview to the listeners as to what that system entails?
Okay. Well, I'm old school, so I'm just going to speak about it as I learned it.
Mm-hmm.
So as I learned it, there's a pyramid, and you have your pyramid. And, you know, there's no matter which way you turn it, the three are just part of one. There's just one.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you start with Viarnas, which is the little mm-hmm. old man that decided to help the street kids, because that's what mm-hmm. he did. And
Lorendo
he helped
Vici
a street kid named, yeah, right? And then he helped a little kid that was a little attitudinal. And that little mm-hmm. kid wound up becoming Dr. Moses Powell, right? And that was like his dad. Like, this little man taught him everything. You know, Doc told me that. He said, I learned everything from that little man. I love Doc. His birthday happens to be the day before mine, so I love you, Dr. Moses Powell. He's like, oh, that's his little bit. He would call me little bit. I missed Doc.
Oh, cute.
But, because I was like 23. They just thought I was hysterical. And, you know, I'm the Energizer Bunny. I'm always just making everybody happy and smile. So that's what I do. But, and then Doc and Professor V were basically going around all the tournaments and, you know, black belts. And, you know, they judge the tournaments, especially with the kids. Like, they love the kids. They really do, because the kids are the future. So one day Professor V and Doc were out at a tournament, and here's this little crazy kid that reminded them both of themselves, right? And that was Little John, and that's why he became Little John Davis. Because he was like 6, 7 years old, and they basically kidnapped him from Shotokan. So, and he started training in both Shotokan and Jiu-Jitsu. So he came up when he was like 6 years old with Doc and, you know, from that age, with Doc and Professor V. So that's like his granddad and his dad. And then, you know, he's grown up, and then I'm the same age as one of his daughters. So when I got back from college, she had just left. So it was kind of like when I found Soki, I needed a dad. He needed a kid. And I needed to learn how to defend myself living in Harlem. And, I know how to fight, but it's not the same as when you learn technique. So that's what as I learned it. And, you know, from there, Doc and Professor V had many, many children. I mean, Professor V has if you've ever met Professor David James, he's bad. Oh, my God, he's so cool. He does his joint locks and, like, breaks people's legs. I love it. And, so, and then, I'm sorry, he's so cool. I love you. And then there's Professor Bill. You know, and then you got CJ with talking beer. And it's like, you got M.I. Soaking your side. So I'm getting really excited and hyper. So, you know, and then we're not even going to talk about Doc going down the Caribbean and, like, all the beautiful black belts down there in Trinidad that are just amazing. And, like, he just basically Doc liked to travel, and so did Professor V. And so they would just go to tournaments all over the world and just teach everybody, because each one has to teach one. And that was really something. So Professor V is like granddaddy, and Doc and then Soki, and that's kind of how the hierarchy is. And from there, there were just nothing but tons of brothers. Like, Doc had all these children that he taught, you know, like Grandmaster Anthony Muhammad, who's in Chicago, and then you have Anton Muhammad, who's in Oakland, and you have them all spread out. You have, I forget everybody in D.C., and then Atlanta, and there are just so many of them, but I love them all. So go to Doc Radio, because there's, like, a whole list of them. And Soki Hassan just did a show the other night about all the black belts and that Doc gave and certs and all that stuff. So I don't know all the details, just the little bit that I know. But everybody loves everybody, and they're just a bunch of big brothers that are so cool. So it's so great to be part of that, and that's where it is. But you can YouTube anything, Dr. Moses Powell or Sanukes, S-A-N-U-C-E-S, Ru, or Little John Davis, and that's Kumite Ru, K-U-M-I-T-E. And then, of course, Professor V. Just type in Prof. V-E-E. That's it.
He will Professor pop up. Professor V.
And he's just like super stick man. Like, that man was just – He's like the scene in Ghost Dog where the guy drops his bags and, like, does a roundhouse and just, like, what is it, spinning wheel kick, knocks the guy out, picks up his bags and just keeps on trucking. Like,
exactly.
That was, when I saw that scene in Ghost Dog, the only thought I had was, Professor Day. That was it. Just, you know, Lorenzo Visitacion. So he was just amazing. Yeah, so that's just them, and I love them all. And so I was just taught that everybody takes care, each one teach one. And as we walk in peace, and fear shall not prevail. You know, we are not the aggressors. Okay. But we fight with those who fight with us. And if we must fight, we must fight to survive.
That's
so
awesome.
Yeah.
Check
so that's
it out,
it.
Folks.
Did I go too much?
Sanukis Roo. No. Check that out, folks. Sanukis Roo, Jiu-Jitsu with the that's so is Sanukis prime I guess I was trying to explain it to someone, and I don't want to get it wrong because I'm really not familiar with it. I'm familiar with Professor V because
right,
that
course.
Was a name that I grew up with, you know, in the
right,
70s.
He's like
Lorenzo Visitacion. Yeah, you know. And but as far as Sanukis, you know, is it an amalgam of what Professor V taught? Because I know that V Arnis itself was kind of an amalgam. But as far as Dr. Moses Powell's expression of it, is Sanukis Dr. Moses Powell's expression of it, or is it a offshoot of V. Arnis? I'm not quite sure.
Well,
I want to be able to tell people the right thing.
That's
oh, I
where
see.
The pyramid
I
comes
see.
In. You Got see, because Professor V is granddaddy, and everything he taught Dr. Moses Powell, he took, and then, of course, in martial arts, you graft it to your own ability.
Got it.
Right, so
okay.
Professor V taught everything, right? And then, of course, as a martial artist, you go all around anyway. So
right.
Many, many rivers, one ocean, right? So in the ocean of the art, so out comes Professor V, and then he gives birth to Doc, who then Doc gives birth to, you know, Sanukis Roo. And Sanukis
Got
Roo
it.
Was his version of everything he had learned plus whatever else. Because it like, you know, I don't know if you've been blessed to spend time around him, but I got blessed to spend time around Doc a lot. He would come for seminars and stuff, and I saw him for, like, weekends, like, at least 3 or 4 times a year. So, you know, I probably saw him more than I saw actual biological relatives.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, seeing him 6, 7 times a year for 5, 6 years, you get to know somebody. You have dinner with them. You talk with them. You know, he was sweet. But the one thing he was always doing, you could not give that man anything in his hands without him turning it into a technique. You give him a piece of paper, he'd do paper plane technique. I mean, he was just seriously.
Poke your eye out with the nose of the plane.
Exactly. Like, okay, but we can design the plane a different way and make it a different technique. I'll spin it. I'll make it a helicopter technique. I mean, he would just – so they all do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you have Professor V, who's this little man who totally did that with the Eskrima and the Filipino martial arts. Like, he's – when I said he's the Filipino – he's the Filipino. Like, there is no one in the Philippines that does not know who that man is. You know, he's just, he's the man. So with Professor V, he gave birth to this child, but that's why David James, who also was one of Professor V's students, he's amazing. Like, it's his version of what he learned. So they all learn and then improvise. And with that, Sanukis is like the brainchild because, of course, you still have to go to your dad and check it out and get beat up. So Professor V totally approved everything Doc was doing. But Doc could do these, like, one-finger rolls and do all this craziness, and he was a big guy. So what worked for Professor V is not going to work for Doc. So Doc had to improvise so it would work for him. And that's where martial arts comes in. That's where being water comes in. Water conforms to whatever it's in. That's the beauty of water. But it's still just as strong.
Mm-hmm.
So with that being said, Soki did the same thing with Kumite Roo. He took everything he learned from Professor V, everything he took from Doc, and he created the Kumite Roo, the fighting style, because he was a little kid. So and this is his thing. So when you grow up, it was like Jet Li's kid, you know, in Once Upon a Time in China.
Right.
So Man Ting. It was like Man Ting. Man Ting, that was his name. So
yeah,
it was like
Man
Ting. Right. Man Ting. Man Ting.
Ting.
I watch way too much Kung Fu. I love my older brother Sam. A big shout out to Australia down under the Beatty Clinic, who my brother Sam I am, who totally got me into Kung Fu as a little kid. He used to babysit me and watch Kung Fu. So he's 4 years older than me. So, yeah, I totally grew up to Kung Fu. I love Kung Fu and, like, Shogun Assassin. But this is how it is in the martial arts. So they just keep learning. So everyone improvises and gets better than who they were or who they learned from. So it's all really the same. That's where the pyramid comes in. It's just that's the start with those three. And then, I mean, you look at Sokhi Hasan Khalid, Karoshi Doe. I mean, you look at Shihan Daryl Sargent. I mean, they're just crazy. They're just, like, you can't give them something without them creating something from it. And that is called crazy because what, you have the nerve to do something and improvise and make it this way and adapt to somebody? Are you kidding? Like, when you talk about adapting to people in wheelchairs and disabled, like, that's the same type of process. Is adapting to who it is you have to teach and to what you have to learn. So for Sanukis, that's just, it's all, everything comes from Professor V. And there is no one in Sanukis that would deny that.
Very cool. I like how you describe it as crazy because, you know, when, and I get where you're, I get what you're saying when you say crazy because I know you're not talking that the people themselves are crazy. You know, it's like, it's kind of talking to the people. Yeah, it's kind of talking to the people that are so stuck in one mindset, right? That go,
right.
How dare you change that?
Right.
That's crazy. You know, you have to block like this. You have to block like that, regardless of your body type, regardless of your movement style. And that I find crazy.
I'm 5'4", come on.
I know, I'm 5'1", and maybe like 130 pounds soaking wet. And, you know, I learned from a lot of Kaji Kembo people that, you know, rough and tumble, rah, you know, let's go break some legs and go have a beer afterwards type of thing, right? And, you know, but a lot, I found out the same thing, is a lot of stuff that worked for them doesn't work for me. So I kind of had to, like, make do, you know, and just do things my way and you know, and it works. And, you know, I just hope that my own students do the same thing because, you know, who wants a mini me? As it, you know, if you're a teacher, who wants a mini me? You know,
exactly.
No good teacher would want someone to look exactly like them. I mean, come on, you know, I want one of my students to kick my ass. That's where I'm at.
Can you take the pebble from my hand?
Right. That's what I want to see. I want to get my ass kicked by one of my students and that'll make me happy.
Right, because now we're on the same level with regards to this, and so now I know I can send you into the world and you'll be able to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because that's where it's at. So I would totally agree. I mean, I love all of you, Guru. Like, I'm sure with your students it's the same exact way, right? Like, they improvise because of different sizes and body types, you know? It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, coming up, though, you almost have to teach that. I used to get questions all the time. What about this? What if I do this? Well, will it work? Let's try.
Mm-hmm.
And now
exactly.
It's not mine anymore. Now it's yours.
Right.
Yeah.
See, that's it. That's it right there. It's yours. See, you make them take responsibility. You make them improvise for their body type. You show them the technique, but the adaptation is up to them.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I do a lot of the time, too. Because I do fitness and I align people because most people are just, they don't even walk right. I mean, their legs are all out of alignment. They have external rotations in their ankles. They don't know how to keep their feet straight. Because of that, they put undue pressure on their knee, which leads to their hip displacement, and then they get lower back pain. And then they let their bellies hang down like they're pregnant, whether male or female. And it's just, it's ridiculous. So I have to teach proper form. But someone that's 6 feet tall is not going to have the same form as someone that's 5 feet. So you have to widen their hip angle and the Q angle of the leg, and it's just, it's really intense kinesiology and the study of alignment and just how the body is supposed to move. And martial arts has done it for centuries, thousands of years, you know, and that's why I'm a big, big, big believer in massage and Reiki. I'm also a very big proponent of acupuncture and acupressure.
Oh, cool.
And reflexology. I think that all those things not only serve a purpose, but they help to align the body.
So agreed.
We can definitely agree that you need all of that to make yourself healthy. It's all sides. It's the physical, it's the metaphysical, and it's the actual reality of doing the work.
Very cool. Now, speaking of fitness, what got you into the fitness field?
Oh, Sokhi left.
Oh.
seriously. what had happened was 9/11 happened, right? I was working for myself. I was doing freelance work. And 9/11 happened. And so I kind of freaked out and started working for a vet because that was just a nice, safe job. I could just answer the telephone, and I was working for a bank at the time of 9/11. And I had an appointment on 9/11 with the old man, and they never found his body, so he probably was disintegrated when the building collapsed. But we had a meeting early in the morning, and I couldn't get downtown, so I came back and turned on the TV because our meeting was at 9. and I couldn't get downtown. And so at 8:30, I couldn't get downtown. I was like, what's going on, right? So I got back to my house at like 9 o'clock, and when I turned on a TV, there was a plane sitting in the World Trade Center.
Oh, man, yeah.
That's why I couldn't get downtown. Okay. Because it was weird, because the plane actually hit around 8:45, and like there was just, I missed the train, and the next train didn't come for like 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, what's going on? And then they made an announcement. There was no train service downtown. There was no train service downtown. And I was like, what? And this is like 8:50. And I was like, oh, but the next train is due like any minute. And I was living at the time in Harlem on 146th and 8th. So I couldn't get downtown. And so that was a rough day for me. So I decided to be a secretary. And then that didn't work out because it basically, I can't sit on my butt all day. I'm too hyper. So I was accused of being, you're going to love this, I was actually told that I was excessively happy. And that this is an animal hospital. Check this out. And I'm at an animal hospital, and I should not be excessively happy.
What?
And I said, oh, okay, I swear to God. So I decided to get a job, and a friend of mine said, hey, why don't you try being a trainer? You got the body for it. You teach martial arts on weekends to kids. I was like, I teach kids, not grown-ups. I don't like grown-ups. They're mean. and they were like, shut up. You teach grown-ups whether you realize it or not because you tell them the truth. That's all you got to do is tell them the truth and make them work out. I was like, really? it was like this light bulb. I was like, really? So I got certified. So I got to the gym, and within a month I had my first certification as a trainer and then aerobics instructor and then CPR. And in 2000, that was 2001 with AAAI ISMA. American Aerobic Association International, the International Sports Medicine Association. That was 2001. So then by 2003, I joined NASM, which is the National Academy of Sports Medicine, and I've been with them ever since. And I've got fitness nutrition, women's nutrition specialist, certified personal trainer, my favorite corrective exercise specialist, which I've had forever and a day. So I basically do physical therapy. Whoa.
What was that?
I basically
what was that?
That was weird. Who knows? Yeah. Drop the phone. I do physical therapy with basically prescriptions with people, and I'm studying kinesiology so I can be a physical therapist. So basically 2001 after 9/11 really started the fitness because I was told I was excessively happy after like dealing with the tragedy like 9/11. I worked for a hospital. But what it really was they make a lot of money on euthanasia. Euthanasia is a money-making business. Don't ever think it's not, and it's only a business, and they don't care who they kill. So I just didn't have the heart to work like that anymore. Because I basically, a lady's cat took a nosedive off the 16th floor. And the cat didn't make it, but it was still alive. So I just let her sit down and cry and hold the cat. And then I was like, don't worry, we get cats all the time. And she actually wound up coming back to the clinic and adopting an animal and like staying with the clinic just because I was so cool to her. But I was excessively happy, so I got pushed to the gym. And then I left the vet, and I've been happier being a trainer that I've it's the best job for me. I make my own hours. I get to basically help people for a living, and I really get to help people get past the mental blocks that they have because I had one myself. So I had a bad mental block where I gained a lot of weight, and then I lost it, so it was really good. And I've kept it off and maintained it for 8 years.
Wow. I mean, I don't even know where to start because it's like, I mean, that's amazing. I mean, a lot of people, they go out and they, you know, get their stomach stapled or they eat cotton balls or something ridiculous, or, you know, and stuff like that. And you did it all naturally through what I would call just discipline and sweat, you know, all natural. I kind of want to talk about that a little bit. I mean, you know, what advice would you give to someone that – I mean, I let me reword this because I was going to say, what advice would you give to someone that wants to lose weight? But I realize that it depends on the individual, you know, it depends on their present. I would imagine that it would depend on their present fitness level already, how much weight they want to lose, their current eating habits and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as a general outlook, you know, what type of advice would you give to someone who says, I want to lose weight?
Okay. Most people, everybody wants to lose weight, but that's not their real goal. Their real goal is to feel better about themselves and everything else. So knowing this, because I'm also an elite trainer, I'm a ShareCare elite trainer, it's a basically, I'm a trainer who's a therapist without having a therapy degree. That's what the elite mm-hmm. trainers are. We can do what they call life coaching and fitness mm-hmm. coaching. Mm-hmm. It's really fitness coaching. I think the exact terminology is fitness life coaching, but it's mm-hmm. definitely fitness coaching. And what we do is we coach people into fitness by probing them and having them answer their own questions.
Mm-hmm.
So the main mm-hmm. question that actually arises for most people is, how can I feel better? And the answer is always the same. Eat right and move around.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Whether it's 5 pounds, 10 pounds, 50 pounds, or in my case, 200 pounds.
Wow.
I allow sources outside of myself to literally distract me to a point that I ate myself literally into 357 pounds.
Dang.
And,
wow.
Yeah. And so I lost all the weight because, did I tell you that, you know, I have this network of incredible people? And I was in Atlanta, and at the time I got to go to see Joe Mutaka Beer's dojo, who I love C. Joe forever because he's like, I recognize the smile, but baby, I don't even recognize you. And I was like, he said, I know. He's like, there is no way you'd be coming in here telling me you are my brother's child if you really weren't. So I love you. You say you're Mass Little John's. I believe you. And then I mm-hmm. called Soki and everything, and he called C. Joe, and it was all great. And, you know, because, I mean, here I don't even look like myself, right? If you go to Maya Detain on Facebook, you'll see I lost it. You'll see my fat picture. I'm not a very happy person. And then you'll see me in a bikini going, oh, yeah, I'm cute again. So it was a journey, but I went there, and then my schedule would not allow it. So C. Joe, however, happens to be married to this incredibly dynamic woman named C. Dagu. Okay, no, that's not her name. That's her title. But her name mm-hmm. is Nequeva. So I went to see Joe, and I was like, listen, I can't, you know, is your wife available during the day? He's like, I'll talk to her for you. So after, like, one or two classes with C. Joe, I got to train with his wife. And she mm-hmm. kicked my butt because, of course, she can do that. She's a woman. She's certified to train in women, to train women on all different levels. She's Sidagu in the SWAM system, which mm-hmm. is, she calls it Sisters with a Mission, but it's Strong, Wise, Achieving Minds. That's what C. Joe is.
Oh, cool.
But we are Sisters with a Mission. You know, we can form our own acronym for SWAM. But she's amazing, and so she took me on, and she, you know, kicked the bag. I know you remember, muscle has memory. And she made me fight for my fitness. I know
wow.
that sounds crazy, but she made me fight for it. She was like, you want to get the body back? Jump rope. Do your push-up. I mean, she was on me. And then, of course, C. Joe would come down all the time, and, like, I was doing stick form at the time. I was doing two stick forms because he does mostly kung fu forms that are just so mm-hmm. just incredible. Oh, my God. And I was learning the knife forms with two knives because they usually work with each hand individually for the mm-hmm. Forms. So they were teaching me that. And then when I left Atlanta, I went back to New York, and I just started training again. I didn't really get a chance to train much, but when I did, I got to go to Kyosa named Dominique, who has this school in Brooklyn, and this mm-hmm. actually, I think she teaches classes all over, but you can go to the Kumite Ryu Jiu-Jitsu site on Facebook as well, and mm-hmm. she has classes, and so I was training with her, and then I would pop up with Professor Bill, and, you know, I'd try and go to seminars, and by that time, after about 3 years of just really hardcore training, I moved to California, so I've been in California nearly 3 years now.
Wow. Wow.
So,
that's some serious discipline, fighting for your fitness. And I love that phrase because, you know, like I had hinted to at earlier, a lot of people just go and get their stomach stapled and, you know, this and that and the other. Now, I'm not trying to, like, put down people that actually have, like, you know,
okay.
a disorder.
Medical conditions, right. Medical conditions that are
yeah.
serious and getting, that's different. But if you make
yeah,
the choice
different.
To get a surgery versus working out, that's ignorance, period.
Yeah.
If you can walk, you can exercise. If you can walk, you can exercise.
Yeah.
And if you don't want to, you're simply lazy. What gets mm-hmm. me is parents with obese kids.
Yeah.
Because the kids are the future. So you need to both be working out.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a whole other story.
I've seen parents with obese kids. I mean, I had one when my son was in Scouts, and this kid was actually round. He was about 4 foot
wow.
six and probably 150 pounds.
What?
Whoa.
And then you saw the parents that would come up to him and say, do you want a cookie? No, you give him a piece of celery.
Right, give an apple.
Right.
Like,
right.
Wow.
Do you want a cookie?
That's enabling a drug addict. Like, their drug is food. You're enabling a drug addict when you give them that.
Mm-hmm.
Do they
exactly.
not understand it's the same concept? Wow.
It is. It absolutely is. Now, what are your thoughts, Maya, of the myriad of diets, let alone the cotton ball diet?
I can't even. I know it's
I
real
can't
good,
say it
I'm
with a straight
sorry,
face.
But you, how can you even say it? Like, oh my God, the cotton ball diet. That is just so ridiculous. These people are ignorant. But yes, I'm sorry. I'm back 100%. What do I think about diets?
Yeah, what do you think about diets? You know, they had the cabbage diet. They had all these diets that swim fast and all these diets that come out that are mostly fads. What are your thoughts?
Okay. If you just simply change your lifestyle and change your eating habits, you'll already be in the healthier process. And you will naturally want to have, because you'll have a natural amount of energy, and then you'll have a boost of energy. And you'll want to naturally, just your spirit, your whole energy will want to start moving. Once you eat better, you feel better. And that's really the trick to it. So it doesn't matter. You can sit there and diet. All you're going to do is yo-yo, because diets don't exist. That's why they're called die it. You're going to die if you do it. So don't do that. Okay. Nutrition is nurturing, right? Nutrition, we're nurturing ourselves. So you have to put the good stuff in the body.
Mm-hmm.
And good food is essential because, for instance, my daughter, she loves fruit. Like, fruit is an endangered species in my house. I bought a bag of cuties on Thursday. They were gone by Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Cuties are little tiny tangerines in bags, okay? Guru, I know you know what they are. I'm not sure if they have where you're at, Rosita. But they're so good. Oh, my God. The tangerines are so good. They're so juicy, and they're so sweet. And they were like $3 for a bag. So they're endangered. She was giving them out at school. She was eating them. She was just tearing them up. And then people go, how come she's not fat? She eats all the time. I said, because all she eats is fruit. Like, that's her snack of choice. I mean, she's like any kid. She wants some Doritos or potato chips. And she can get that from, like, aunties and friends because, you know, your friends sneak your kids food. But when it comes to me, I have to be the authoritarian. And I have to make sure what she's eating is right. So her new love affair is quinoa. And she likes quinoa with all these different things. And tricolored pasta. She loves penne. So, you know, I try and get all the tricolored pasta. You can eat pasta if it's tricolored. You just don't want to keep eating the same boring pasta. You want to give real food to your children and to yourself. So if you're not eating real food, then you can't do it. To answer everyone's question, no, I do not eat red meat. I mostly eat fish. I'm more considered what's called a pescatarian. And I generally buy fish from South America because they have very stringent laws on GMO. And I'm basically afraid of the GMO in this country. That's one of my fears is nutritionally I've been violated. I feel like I've been violated. So I buy organic because they have organic farmers all around that have like 20 avocados for $5. Ridiculous.
Wow.
Oh my God, they're so good.
Wow.
And then you don't understand. I love living in California. Food is so cheap. I can get organic. I can just go around the corner. My friend Pearl, she was the guest a few weeks back. She has a business called The Growing Home. You should definitely check out their page. They actually teach you how to turn your house into a farm. And it's within city codes because basically you can plant fruit trees. And she planted all these fruit trees, and these fruit trees are like reaping fruit like it's going out of style. So definitely go to The Growing Home. They're on Facebook as well and check their page because I can guarantee that you will learn some stuff about. They also do nutritional courses, and she does Indian cooking classes, and they're just amazing. So she prepares meat and non-meat. She has all sorts of different classes, vegan, non-vegan. She's great. But definitely check out The Growing Home if you want some information on how to start your own home garden and how to really grow your own food, because if we could grow our own food, then we would be a lot healthier. Because when I was a kid, my mom had a garden. So I remember that. I remember how to dig in the dirt and plant seeds and cover it up because that was fun for me as a little kid. I was like, oh, I get to dig a hole, you know. And my mom took that age-appropriate activity and taught me how to make food out of it. So I have a need to grow my own food, and I want to buy a house in a couple of years so I can do that.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, my parents had a big vegetable garden in the backyard, and I remember doing the same thing, digging a hole, putting in the seeds, you know, transplanting the tomatoes from the little things to the outside. And, yeah, it was very cool. So, you know, if you know, losing weight you know, is all about just eating well, eating the right foods and moving, you know, why would all of these, you know, experts, so to speak, you know, some people that even call themselves doctors come out with these diets that don't sound very healthy in the long run? Like, what is it, the Atkins diet that puts your body in a state of ketosis? Which one is that? It's like, you know, literally, I mean, it's like, oh, let's bring like elevated ketones into our bloodstream. That's awesome. You know, I mean, how does that, who comes up with these diets? Why would these people try to, you know, make something up like that? I mean, I don't understand. Money.
The only diet that I tell people to really deal with, okay, seriously, is a nutritional diet. There are, and the people that do it have got to be someone that I follow. Like, there's Dr. Sabi, there's Dr. Pookrum, I forget, there's Dr. Weil. I forgot the one that wrote, there's a book called The Diabetic Diet, which I recommend for anybody that has issues with blood sugar or salt, because it teaches you how to eat without sugar and salt. But it teaches you how to eat all sorts of foods. That's called the diabetic diet. But that was actually written by a doctor. Dr. Sabi, okay, S-E-B-I. Dr. Pookrum, P-O-O-K-R-U-M. They both, Dr. Africa, A-F-R-I-K-A. They all have diets that are geared to help you be healthy, regardless of where you come from.
Mm-hmm.
I know Dr. Weil, W-E-I-L, he's a trip. You might have seen him. I think he's been on Dr. Oz because they're real good buddies. But, yeah, he has been. He has a salt and pepper beard. He's really funny, like balding, older. I think he's Jewish. Hysterical. He's really funny. But Dr. Weil, W-E-I-L, has this amazing sense of humor, and he really makes it easy for people to eat. And since everybody likes Dr. Oz, I'm promoting him. Dr. Oz is great because you can actually learn some stuff. The diets that they have out there, the nutrition that they have out there, unless you follow it and you eat actually organic, you're not doing yourself a justice.
Mm-hmm.
And organic should be from a farmer's market, because with farmer's markets, you know what you're getting. They're not using pesticides. They recently, even Whole Foods admitted to having GMO in their food.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's
a
danger to me.
Yeah, I read about that.
That's a danger to me. So if you're Whole Foods, you're saying you're going to wholly make me whole, W-H-O-L-E, and you are preparing food that has GMO in it, then you're not really doing anything for me. You're part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to be like Switzerland, where they all have a backyard and they all trade their own fruits and vegetables. That's where we need to be at, because then we know what we're getting. So
right.
We have to create the food revolution. So the food revolution, nutrition, the food revolution, feeding everybody. We've got to clean plastic. And, like, plastic is terrible in this world. It doesn't do anything. It does not biodegrade. They lied to me at the recycling plant. They only, you know. So I think, basically, since volcanoes are full of sulfur, they need to throw all the plastic in the volcano. That's the best way to totally destroy it. Because there's a big old garbage pile in the ocean. Of Texas. Floating around with this garbage. We did this. And it's only been over the last 50 years. It wasn't there 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what about these animals dying? So it's all part of the same food chain. Nutrition is part of the Earth's ecocycle. There's food all over the ground that we've just destroyed. We need to go back to planting to the ground, go back to putting seeds in, go back to letting the Earth be healthy through nutrition, planting trees because we're cutting them down. And then our bodies will start to react. Gardening is exercise. You don't have to go out there and jump rope. You can sit there in your garden and plant stuff all day. See how good you feel. You will get a workout from just bending down every day and picking bushes and picking weeds. So you can work out with a home garden. Nutrition is such the key. And people don't want to work out. They don't want to plant a garden. They just want the easy way out. And it's all about money. So everything I'm saying, that's what it's about. It's all about the money. And that's why they tell people. I know somebody that took a gastric bypass that weighed 10 pounds less than me and died. They got a blood clot in their leg because you are told to exercise even after a gastric bypass, a lap band, or any other stomach surgery. And if people are lazy beforehand and they don't do it, believe me, a lot more people die than they let you know. They just call it different things, so you don't worry about it. Oh, they had a heart attack, but why do they have a heart attack? You can't do that to your body. You have to be gradual. It took me a year and a half to lose 200 pounds. But I did it, and now it's just a matter of tightening. Because everything I'm doing now is just tightening, because I've been in school, so I gained like another 10 pounds. I'm like 150 again. But it's easy to lose that 10 pounds. I finish my finals tomorrow, and then I'll be able to just work out.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all nutrition. It's what I eat, and I'm very careful about what I eat.
Very cool. Very cool. Now, in regards to your practice, what do you find most of your clients are looking for when they do any consultations with you? Are they all about weight loss? Do some of them just come to you because, hey, I need to get stronger for this sport or that sport? Or is it like a big mix of what your clients are looking for?
Well, my clients, actually, because I teach three different ways, I do phone consults, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do Skype training where I actually Skype with people and we face-to-face. It's like the Jetsons. It's so super cool. And then for those that live in Southern California or San Diego, because I live in San Diego, we can do live training. So it depends on what
cool.
they do. So a lot of my clients in New York will do phone consults and phone training where we sit there and I give them the mental that they need to go because it's mental. At this point, I'm not there, but you had me for a few years. You know how to behave. So I will counsel you and you can pay me for that time because it takes time because I'm taking time away from my daughter and that's like the future. So if I'm going to take time away from that, I need to be compensated. So I do have phone clients, which is understandable and it's really actually beneficial to them. And for the ones that I do coach over the phone, they're actually doing a lot better than they had done prior to me speaking to them because sometimes, you know, your trainer moves and you don't talk to them and you try and do it on your own, you get frustrated. But I always call people to check and see how they're doing. So for those that I've called that, you know, I've checked on, I have a few of them, and they're great. They're doing well, but I do counsel with them. The ones on Skype, they're a little more detailed. Them I have to sometimes yell at, so they, even if they're actually in San Diego, I will Skype with people, and we can actually work out because you can see the full body on Skype, so we can work out.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually do the exercises with them. So I show them that I'm watching them because I can see their form. And they've been around me, so they know pretty much where I'm going to poke them. And their muscles have memories. And then the live people, I train them live one-on-one. But everything is counseling. You know, as a sensei and as a guru, it's like as a sifu, you're just always counseling people. You're always helping them to be better. So for me, with what I do, is I teach mind, body, and soul. You have to connect all three, and you have to do it from a place of love. Because these people are really working to love themselves. So I refer to myself as a healer, someone that helps everyone allow love and create that external reality. So when you help everyone love themselves, they're more apt to want to do something for themselves. Because you can't make them do anything. They have to want to do it. Most people fight with cognitive dissonance. They don't want to change. So, you know, as a trainer, I'm the bad guy because I'm the one making them change. That's why, I have to go to class. My sensei's this way. Oh, I have to go train. My trainer's crazy. They're going to charge me. You know, whatever it is that makes them get there to work on themselves, I don't care. Because in 3 or 4 years from now, when you're healthy and your life is back to where it needs to be, you're going to thank me for helping you. You know. And that's, I mean, you know, people, why are you so hard on me, sensei? You make me do all these push-ups. But when they get attacked on the street and they go down and roll out or, you know, do push-ups because they're strong, they've got upper body strength, they can knock somebody out, they go, wow, I love my sensei. So a lot of people don't have foresight. They just don't have the foresight. And that's what it is with fitness, is they don't have the foresight.
Right.
Because they want to stay where they're at. It's cognitive dissonance. They just want to fight against the new when they know that there's something better for them, and they just need to listen.
Yeah, isn't that funny how, like, sometimes, you know, change is, like, the hardest thing to embrace when it comes to stuff like that, you know? I mean, it's kind of like, you know, you meet people that have no qualms about, I want to change my wardrobe. And then they go out and they buy like all this new wardrobe and stuff like that. But when it comes to actually applying something like, I don't know, discipline to themselves, then it just goes right over their head and, you know, they justify why they're not doing it. I don't have time for this, right? And it's like, wow. But you're going to get diabetes or you're going to get this or you're going to get sick and, you know, wow. It's just amazing how the human mind works for positive or negative. It's funny.
Oh, absolutely. So while you're on with this, Maya, why don't you tell us a little bit about your Blog Talk Radio show that you have on?
Oh, Oh yeah, I forgot about that. No, I didn't. Okay, you put me on the spot. Okay, so I was doing so well. Wasn't I doing well? Okay, but that being said, I have a Blog Talk Radio guru, and it's called Core Consciousness, Health, and Wellness with Maya Detraina. And core consciousness is one of the things, it's what I teach. It's actually my way of doing fitness because I make you conscious of your core. And once again, we're creating our realities externally. So that's what core is. So to create your reality externally, you have to work within. So within, so without. So when you see people lacking or being against themselves or self-destructive, they're not focusing on creating something positive externally. With that being said, I teach people how to manifest for themselves. I show them how to find themselves, and I help them to create the body they want. And I do this through talking with them. So my radio show, I have a whole bunch of different people coming on from all sorts of different realms, but all fitness or health or somehow wellness related. So I had Sifu Restita on, and we were talking about women in martial arts and just, you know, the whole stigma of being a woman in the martial arts. I had Pearl on, who's from The Growing Home, and that's the one I told you about. She teaches urban farming. And that's really important because I want people to understand that nutrition is part of wellness. I also have CJ Montagavir's wife, Cicinda Cueva, because she's actually a health psychologist. So she comes on every couple of months or so, and we do a series on obesity and really what's going on in the different communities because, you know, it used to just be a black and white thing. Now it's a rich and poor thing. And with that being said, they have food deserts in every neighborhood where you cannot get food, whether you're black, white, Spanish, it doesn't matter because there's no real supermarket. And those people all have houses, but the backyards all have, like, cement. Why don't you just take out the cement and plant a few trees and plant some vegetables? You'd have food. But see, that's giving yourself an independence. So that's why I have people on the show that can actually help with that. I have I interviewed the Global Bloc, which are hip-hop ambassadors to the UN. And I interviewed both parties of the Global Bloc, of the Dynamic Group. And that would be George Rhythm Martinez and his wife, Clara Guerrero Martinez. And both of them are teachers in hip-hop. And they're both, what they do is they run clinics for people to understand that hip-hop is this organic fund, it's this organic funnel of youth, and it's been crossing generations from when we were kids into the generations now. And it's something that can cross all these generations. And, I mean, I've seen martial arts done at tournaments to hip-hop. And, I mean, it was choreographed so amazingly, especially like when you see the ones on YouTube with the weapons. And it astonishes me. So I have this wide variety of people that come on there because we need to connect with all the different youth. So my show is really geared towards just connecting all these different aspects. But the one thing is we're all related in the martial arts. We're all trying to defend an idea or a person, a belief that we truly love and a passion. And that one passion is life. So with that, that's our unifying factor. So core consciousness is really about creating life for all these different mentalities. And I have nutritionists on there, and I have doulas on there. I'm going to actually be rerunning all the shows during the Christmas holidays because I have finals tomorrow. And starting tomorrow through January 20th, I believe it's 6 weeks or 7 weeks of the reruns, and then we start the new season for 2014. So definitely sure to tune in. I'll be replaying a lot of the interviews that people missed. I have Gingy from Soul Train Boxing and Fitness down in Miami, who is amazing. He does martial arts. He does fitness. You know, I have all these people on there that are amazing. I have Cormac McCourt, who does dancing. He's the Beadmasters NYC, so he actually teaches creativity and nutrition, and I have him on there discussing nutrition because he runs an organic farm in upstate New York called Stardust Farms. I've had a physical therapist. So my show is really geared towards information for people. Pretty much pick your show. Pick what you need to learn about, and I'm pretty sure I have somebody that I've had on there that can tell you something.
Very cool. Now, in the last, we've only got maybe about like 15 minutes. Can you tell us, I know, where'd all the time go?
I know. Some
weird news with cotton balls. I mean.
Yeah.
I know we were on that one for a while, so I'm only blaming that one. I don't know.
But tell us a little bit about your upcoming events and all sorts of cool stuff. And how can people get a hold of you if they want to ask you some questions about fitness or be a remote client?
Okay. Well, for anybody that wants information, and if you would like to see my weight loss pictures, you can go to myatatrainer.com. I'm actually having the site redone, so the new site will be launched on Friday. And mm-hmm. so it's our old site now, but we have an event coming up January 4th in New York City where it is three classes, and you'll be part of a group. It's a group class. There's a boot camp. There's a total body, and there is a kickboxing because you know I got to throw in the martial arts. I mean, all these people kickbox, and no one actually shows them how to punch. So my class is really geared to teach you and work you out at the same time. It's very basic kickboxing, so it's on all levels. You don't have to be a martial artist to come, but you'll feel like one when you walk out. And you also, the boot camp is more of a circuit class, so you're going to be running the whole time. And I do have my ladder. I'm bringing my ladder. I love my ladder, and I will teach everyone how to be agile and work with the ladder. And then the total body class is just that. It's an aerobics class, but it's a little different with a lot of movement. And it's definitely nothing you've ever done before. I have good music, and I do, this is the third year running. It's called the Core Consciousness Fitness Jam. And you can go on Facebook. You can actually, it's an event on Facebook. It's on my Maya to Trainer page on Facebook. M-A-Y-A space D-A space T-R-A-I-N-A, because I'm Maya the Trainer, because you don't say the in New York. It's a waste of time. We just say, what's up? What's the? What the what? So it's a total fun of being in New York, and it is, because I'm Maya the Trainer. It's all A's. I love it, because I get all A's. Aside from that, it's going to be a really great day of fitness and fun. So if you'd like to get in touch with me on email or anything, you can always reach out to me on Facebook or through the website, and the email is simple. It's myatatrainer@gmail.com. So that's a very simple one. And you can pretty much email me any questions, and I'll be more than happy to help you out, and we can go from there. I do give a free consult to those that actually purchase the live sessions and the online sessions. And those that do the phone counseling, I'm more than willing to help you. All sessions are 55 minutes, so nothing's ever an hour, because I need 5 minutes and they need 5 minutes. But it's a good way to work out and just jumpstart the fitness process. And I look forward to seeing everybody at the Core Consciousness Fitness Jam. It'll be a really fun day. It's Saturday, January 4th, so that's in about 3 weeks. That's
going to
be an exciting day.
So check that out, folks. Maya the Trainer. That's awesome. I love that, the trainer, instead of the trainer. Maya the trainer.
Yeah, it sounds so boring, right? I'm Maya the Trainer. How you doing? Well, okay, you want to know the truth? This is the truth. I was in, oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to have to tell this truth. Okay, I'm in Atlanta, and if you can picture me in Atlanta, I've got dreadlocks down my back. I'm light-skinned. Uh-huh. I have a very thick, heavy New York accent. And I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, which is not exactly the best place for someone that's a loudmouth New Yorker that just kind of tells it like it is and that's black. So I worked in a little town called Hiram, which is actually outside of Atlanta, about 50 miles. And so I worked in Hiram. And, of course, I would meet the one New Yorker that lived there. His name was Stu. And Stu, who I love amazingly, named me, because he'd walk in and go, hey, it's Maya the Trainer. I'm like, hey, Stu the Dude, how you doing? Because he used to say, I'm Stu the Dude, right?
Uh-huh.
So that was Stu the Dude. I'm like, I'm Maya the Trainer. And he was from the Bronx, and I was from the Bronx, and we totally hit it off. And he was Italian and Jewish, hysterical. Oh, my God, so ridiculous, so ridiculous. And whenever I would go to work, hey, it's Maya the Trainer. So that was 2006. So I was like, you know what, I am Maya the Trainer.
Oh, there you go. You are so, Maya the Trainer. That's awesome.
So that's the truth of the Maya the Trainer. So I got named by one of my clients because I was just, you know, that's Stu the Dude. I'm Maya the Trainer. How you doing? Bada boom, bada bing. It's a New York thing. I'm like, aye. So, you
know. Nice.
That's awesome.
That's my story. That's my story. It's the truth. I'm sticking to it.
Awesome. But, oh, my goodness.
Cool.
Right on. Do you have any other last questions there, Bob?
No, I think we've done a great show. Very seldom anymore, Maya, do we have a guest on for the entire 2 hours. We usually do our thing. It's the first segment, and then we bring them on. But we had a great time today. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It was funny, the fact you're from New York, and again, usually Rusty's the one who cusses on this show. Well, in 2012, I drove in the Hollywood Christmas Parade. I drove Kimberly Locke. she was the she was on season 2 of American Idol with Ruben Studdard, and she's from New York. And I was doing a rehearsal with her because I was driving her out to the stage, and this fire truck was coming at us right on Hollywood Boulevard. And I went, oh, shit. And I had to pull over, and I go, listen, Kimberly, I have to excuse my language. I apologize. She said, don't worry about it. And I said, oh, yeah, that's right. You're from New York. And
right.
that was like enough said.
Well, we're all used to being the cab driver. I mean, if you see my favorite, my daughter and I, we have a favorite movie. It's called Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Right.
You know, Herbie the cab. Hey, you're looking out, buddy. What you doing? I'm a cab here. Like, oh, my goodness. I can just imagine. That must have been an adventure. Well, thank you for having me, and I appreciate being
thank
on the show.
Thank you.
I hope people can learn from all that we discussed. And the reality of it is you have to eat right, you have to exercise if you want any actual results in anything in life. You have to work at it, and you have to practice it. So practice
no
your martial arts.
No
exactly.
shortcuts.
No shortcuts.
Balls.
No, definitely not that. I mean, that's swallowing bleach. You're basically swallowing a bleach fiber. Like, that's just disgusting. Why would you do that to yourself? You know?
I know.
You can just eat apples
crazy.
And they make you poop. Well, apples make you poop anyway, so just eat apples.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I just think that was just crazy. I had to put that on because, you know, I teach a lot of teenagers also, as well as little kids, and the last thing I'd want them to learn is to, you know, listen to all that funky propaganda about this is what it takes to be beautiful. You have to be rail thin, you know what I mean, and unhealthy, you know, to get there.
Right.
And unfortunately, some girls and boys do think that they have to, you know, in boys' cases, I have to be more muscular. And I'm sorry, if you're 8 years old and you're pumping weights and look like Arnold Schwarzenegger, I think that's wrong also.
Totally.
That'll
well,
mess
I have
up
a
your
problem.
Bones and everything.
Yeah, I have a problem with that. Don't adulterize a child. Let the child come to their own adulthood. Like, babies in bikinis drives me crazy. Like,
yeah.
Just, why would you over-sexualize an infant? Like,
there's
sick exactly. people out there.
Agreed.
So.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on a wonderful show. Thanks for all your tips. And I'm trying to see if anyone's listening live. I can't tell if anyone's listening live right now. But but for all our listeners out there, thanks for listening. And stay tuned for announcements on the Dynamic Dojo Facebook page for our program for next week. We will talk to everyone next time. Bye, everybody. Bye, Bob. Bye, Maya. Talk to you later.
Bye. Later.
Later.